This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Tuesday. Colorado Parks and Wildlife wants to boost the state's beaver population. As Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports, that's because beaver dams are increasingly important for people and other wildlife in a changing climate.
Sometimes called ecosystem engineers, beavers are considered a keystone species because of the way they alter landscapes. Their dams can prevent erosion, build drought resistance, and slow the spread of invasive species. Beaver conservation, as a result, has become a bigger priority nationwide and at CPW. Joey Livingston is a public information officer with the agency. He says beaver dams filter pollutants, hold sediment upstream, and act like a sponge of moisture for surrounding plants.
Building a dam blocks up the water that's running downstream, so that can improve the overall water that's in the area to help prevent wildfires.
Many other species also rely on the wetlands that beavers create. The agency hasn't decided where to focus beaver conservation yet, but it will likely be congregated in the western slope. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
CPW is taking public comment on the draft plan until tomorrow, and they expect to complete it sometime next spring. The Aspen Education Foundation raised a record $2.5 million at its annual Flamingo fundraiser, held Saturday at the St. Regis Hotel. The nonprofit partners with the Aspen School District to support programs such as a new outdoor education coordinator and Chromebooks for every high school student. The Flamingo fundraiser is its largest event each year, and this year brought in more than ever before. In arts and culture news, the Aspen Jewish congregation is hosting several Hanukkah events throughout the Roaring Fork Valley this week. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports that the Valley's Jewish population is showing up, despite a global rise in anti-Semitic hate crimes and a mass shooting at a Hanukkah event in Australia over the weekend.
The Aspen Jewish congregation's executive director, Jason Schnissel, said that he was unsure how the Valley's Jewish community would react to the mass shooting on Sunday. He understands that despite being based in Aspen, the Jewish community here is not removed from the global threat of anti-Semitism. But at a menorah lighting for the first day of Hanukkah in Basalt on Sunday, over 100 people showed up.
Standing up and continuing to celebrate is something that we will not let people threaten us, or we're not going to cower to anti-Semitism. That we will continue to celebrate our tradition.
The congregation also hosted a menorah lighting for the second day of Hanukkah in Snowmass Village last night, where blessings and sing-alongs took place. The Aspen Jewish congregation will hold more Hanukkah events on Friday and Sunday in Aspen, Carbondale, and Glenwood Springs. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
In statewide news, Governor Jared Polis signed an executive order Monday aimed at curbing a mountain pine beetle outbreak in ponderosa forests along the Front Range. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
Polis says the infestation is in the beginning stages, but will be visible along U.S. Highway 285 and the I-70 corridor. He attributes the outbreak to drought and a warming climate. He says a recent briefing left him alarmed by how much the outbreak is expected to spread.
Most or nearly all mature ponderosa pines will be killed by pine beetles in the Western Front Range over the next several years. So it's already started.
Polis says it's a risk for wildfires, water quality, recreation, and the economy. He's appointed a task force to try to use the best science and coordinate a response with private and public landowners.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Big changes have come to how federal homelessness and housing funding works, and homeless advocates say the results could be dire. Denverite's Kyle Harris reports.
The Department of Housing and Urban Development is radically reducing the amount of money for permanent supportive housing. These are homes for people with disabilities that may need lifelong support. Instead, funding will go to transitional housing for people living on the streets, group shelters, and outreach workers. Advocates say that in Colorado, thousands living in permanent supportive housing may lose their homes. Nationwide, more than 170,000 people could be evicted. I'm Kyle Harris, Denverite.
And in regional news, this week, water experts and officials from across the region are meeting in Las Vegas for the annual Colorado River Water Users Association Conference. It comes in the midst of difficult negotiations over water use and dire predictions for future drought conditions. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more on what folks will be thinking about.
Negotiators from the seven basin states have already missed several key deadlines to agree on a plan for allocating water after 2026. And the federal government could step in and impose its own rules if an agreement isn't reached. Jim Lockhead was Colorado's top negotiator for the river in 2007 and will be speaking at the conference. He says any plan will have to involve compromise and that some states, like California and Arizona, have already made cuts to water usage.
Yes, there are economic and environmental consequences, but it hasn't been dire to this point.
He'd like to see federal funding for a program that would pay water users to use less.
If there's litigation, if there are mandatory cuts that are imposed, then those reductions in use aren't compensated, and the consequences are much higher.
The river's two largest reservoirs, Lake Powell and Lake Mead, are already quite low, and Lockhead says another dry winter will make things worse. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
The newly created U.S. Wildland Fire Service has hired its inaugural leader, Brian Fennessy, chief of the Orange County Fire Authority in Southern California. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse has more.
Fennessy has nearly 50 years of experience, which began in the late 1970s on elite federal hotshot crews and other wildfire teams. He's been with Orange County since 2018, according to his LinkedIn page. That long and diverse fire career is part of why his hiring has been welcomed by some in the wildland fire community, including the advocacy group Grassroots Wildland Firefighters. Luke Mayfield is its president.
If you haven't walked in those shoes and done those jobs and moved up through those leadership ranks, then I think it becomes very difficult to provide quality leadership.
In a letter recently sent to his current staff, Fennessy said that the new service presents a historic opportunity to, quote, elevate the profession of wildland firefighting. The service will be formed by consolidating the four fire programs under the U.S. Department of Interior. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Affordable Care Act tax credits are set to expire at the end of the month. On Thursday, lawmakers failed to come up with an alternative, killing competing proposals from Democrats and Republicans. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez reports our region is facing among the highest increases in health insurance rates.
Brendan Buck with the nonprofit healthcare watchdog group Keep Americans Covered watched the political debate in Congress with concern. With tax credits set to expire at the new year, many people are about to feel the squeeze.
On average, premiums are going to increase 114%. That's more than double, and that's just to keep the plan that you already have. So families are now going to be asked to pay hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars more a month.
Premiums in our region are expected to increase significantly, according to the group. The biggest hit will be in New Mexico, followed by Wyoming, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, and Idaho. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.